Welcome to another edition of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. Today is January 16th, 2023. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Today's discussion features Dr. Everett Warren, a breast surgery oncology fellow at Brown University, and Dr. Layla Hatzikadegusik, an associate professor of surgery at Atrium Health's Levine Cancer Institute. They spoke about their study, Integrative Oncology in Young Women with Breast Cancer, which was recently published in the journal Oncology. In their study, the authors researched integrative oncology therapies to better establish referral practice patterns at Levine Cancer Institute and define optimal timings of these therapies for young women with breast cancer. What was the rationale for conducting this sort of retrospective review involving young women with breast cancer?
So in general, I mean, we know that young women with breast cancer tend to portend poor prognoses and present with more aggressive cancers that require more aggressive treatments. And with aggressive treatments come aggressive side effects. And so we see not infrequently in Charlotte young women with breast cancer. And Dr. Hazakotic has a special interest in this and had, you know, been my mentor and brought me on board too. And I found it very interesting as well. And so additionally, as a part of our Cancer Institute, we have an integrative oncology clinic, which I think is something that's pretty unique and special about our Cancer Institute. And they offer adjunct services and treatments for patients going through standard of care treatments. And so looking at the two of those topics together, young women with breast cancer and the role of potential integrative oncology in their treatment was something that seemed really interesting to look at. In terms of that, we knew young women were using the services, but we wanted to ask the question, when are they going? How are they getting referred? What services are they using to hopefully create a more systemic algorithm of how to get women into these services and get them to the services that they need in the integrative oncology clinic?
I'll only add to that all of those are exactly the reason we wanted to do the study. And we actually, you know, young women with breast cancer make up about 6 to 7% of all women with breast cancers. And we know that these integrative oncology services that we have are a tremendous aspect and asset to their care, but we don't really have a lot of literature on when we should implement those things. At what point in their treatment should it be? Before treatment, during treatment, after treatment? And so part of a larger spectrum of what we're trying to do is establish really how we are using those services now in order to be better able to answer those questions of when should we really be implementing them in the future.
I see. So finding the right time and right place for these integrative services was one of the main concerns of your study. Right. So what were some of the more interesting findings related to the data gathered in this journal?
One of the things I found interesting was, so in the paper in total, we looked at the years from 2014 to 2019, and we had about 541 patients that were treated between the ages of 18 to 40. So not a small number of patients over the five-year period. And only about 64 of those patients, so about 12% of them, sought out and participated in integrative oncology consultations. So I found that interesting because I think it gives us a good starting point for where to grow from. I think that part of that number being low might have been that the integrative oncology clinic was just getting started, that referral patterns weren't exactly established yet. And I think that as the integrative oncology clinic has become more established and it's a known entity, I think that providers, both in the medical oncology side of things and the surgical oncology side of things, are, you know, speaking to patients about this. And so I found that interesting, first of all, is this that's a good starting point for us to grow from. I don't know if you want to comment on that at all, Dr. Hazakotic, or I can keep going.
I mean, I think once you go over, you know, the more details of the study, so go over all of the things we found.
Yeah. So in the study, when we looked at the timing of when patients were referred to integrative oncology clinics, about 25% of them were referred before initiating treatment, and 75% of them were referred after initiating treatment. You know, the exact explanation for that is, you know, isn't clear from this study, but I think some of that may be that patients, once they started to have side effects, it became more apparent that, oh, we have a resource here in the Integrative Oncology Clinic that could help you with this, which I think leads you to further questions for future studies, like Dr. Hazzikata was speaking about, where when is the best time for these patients to be seen? And so I think establishing when patients are already showing up, as you know, 75% of those are after they start treatment, I think that may give us some guidance on maybe some patients we should be pushing them to be evaluated before treatment, so that they know all the resources that are available. Because, you know, if a patient's never been exposed to integrative oncology and the resources that they have and the treatments that they offer, then who are they to know that, you know, I could use acupuncture for this side effect of chemo that I'm having? They may just think that, oh, this is a normal side effect and it's terrible and I just have to deal with it. And so I think getting them into those programs earlier, so they're at least aware of what's offered. And then, you know, who's to say that some of these treatments cannot be used prophylactically as opposed to, you know, afterwards, once the side effect or whatever we're treating has shown up. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is just the main reason why women were being evaluated in the integrative oncology clinic. So by far the most common reason that they were evaluated was for cancer risk reduction. So that was about 64% of our patients that endorsed that. And this was a multi-select, so patients could have been seen for multiple reasons. It wasn't just categorical. And so they were also the second highest reason they were seen was for adverse treatment side effects, which I don't think is surprising, but it was interesting to look at the breakdown of those side effects that they typically sought treatment for. And so by far the most common was vasomotor complaints. And I think a lot of these were probably related to the estrogen blocking effects of some of the medications we put them on, and the menopausal symptoms that they were having with regards to that. And I think that that's a huge area that integrative oncology can play, have a big positive impact for patients, because, you know, we obviously want our patients to be compliant because we know the positive outcomes in terms of recurrence risk reduction. And so having them involved early in that, I think, would be super helpful. And then the other thing that they sought treatment for a lot were things like insomnia, weight gain or loss, and then GI related issues like chemo-induced nausea and vomiting. Those were lesser, around 20, those were all around 20 to 30%, but most common was vasomotor and then cancer risk reduction. Those are some of the most interesting points that I found.
Yeah, a very detailed breakdown. Thank you. And yeah, with all of these observations in mind, how do you think these findings will potentially impact clinical practice?
So like I was saying earlier, you know, I think it's always good to go ahead and create your baseline or figure out your baseline so you can create a game plan moving forward. And I think knowing we have a lot of young women with breast cancer here, I mean, over 500 over a period of 5 years, knowing that we have a well-established integrative oncology clinic and only 12% of those patients have been actually seen and consulted in that clinic, I think that gives us a great starting point to know that we can grow from here, and it allows us to track how we're growing. And so I think that was important for the study. The other thing that I think is important is that what I saw earlier, where the 75% of patients were seen after treatment started versus 25% before treatment started. And I think getting patients in earlier is super beneficial, because like I was saying, patients don't know these services exist, and they don't know that maybe there's a treatment for this common side effect of chemo that they think is something they're just supposed to deal with. And so I think these services can be super helpful for that. And I think establishing an algorithm of, you know, as a part of a checklist, when you have a patient that's a young woman with breast cancer, making it a part of that conversation, a part of, you know, your templated conversation that you have with all of your cancer patients, that we also have integrative oncology. I strongly recommend that you consider being seen by them just to hear what's available before you even start chemo, or now that your surgery's done and you're going to start your tamoxifen. I think it's important to know that for patients to be educated so that they know what's out there to help them.
Not just add only for us also, in that we frequently, just like patients, don't know all of the services that are available. You know, we haven't, prior to starting to ask these questions, we haven't been able to tell them, listen, you ought to start acupuncture now, or you ought to start this now. We kind of just throw this general, we have a phenomenal Department of Integrative and Supportive Oncology. You might find some help there, but we haven't been able to really guide them to say, we're going to send you before you start chemo. Like Dr. Wormer said, we're going to start after. We're going to give you 2 weeks before, or something very specific, which is what we're hoping this can help to guide us so that we can better guide them as well. And there's all these misconceptions from patients, including younger patients, everybody, about chemotherapy specifically, for example, is not the chemotherapy of 20 years ago. The, you know, what patients and the horror stories that they've heard is really hopefully something we can avoid now. And now we have even greater tools at our disposal to help make that even better.
I see. A lot of great points, especially what you said about like getting these patients in as early as possible and informing them as early as possible. I agree that those are important steps in the improving the field. And what would you say are the next steps in terms of research for integrative oncology in this patient population?
So I think this study that we did does a good job of laying out a foundation of where we are, which I think is important for any study. And so I think from here, we can start tailoring the research to actually see and track how, you know, are we increasing our referral to integrative oncology? Are patients being seen more frequently before their treatment versus after their treatment? And then I think there's a lot of space to do research in terms of patient satisfaction, specifically in young women with breast cancer, utilizing the various resources that are offered in integrative oncology. There's lots of data out there to support these services that are offered by integrative oncology, and data to show that the efficacy of certain treatment modalities for certain side effects. But I think that the rich part of this study would be to start actually getting patients and asking them before their treatments and after their treatments, their integrative oncology treatments, that is, if they see an improvement and if they, you know, enjoyed utilizing those things and if they knew they were available, and if there's anything we could improve on. But I think the biggest thing would be seeing patient satisfaction with the integrative oncology service and then seeing if it actually helped improve their symptoms, and perhaps even increase compliance if there was, you know, any difficulty with compliance of treatment.
In terms of the big picture, what do you hope that your colleagues take away from the research that you did?
I think for this, my big hope is that people just raise awareness that this is available for patients, and that when they have young women with breast cancer in their clinic, that they know to speak to them about them and to at least let them know that these services are available, and to really encourage them to seek consultation. Even if they don't ever utilize any of the services, I just think it's so important for patients to have as much education about what's out there for them. Because, like I said at the very beginning of this, like, we know young women with breast cancer have more aggressive cancers that require more aggressive treatments. And I think anything we can do to help them get through those treatments is important. And so I think just patient education and then getting patients to the integrative oncology clinic is a huge, big first step.
Really, also, I'll just add that this is something that should be part of the integrated cancer care network. We do a very, very good job at most cancer centers that are taking care of the disease. We're taking care of the in this case, breast cancer from a surgery, radiation, medical oncology, systemic therapy. This hasn't really been up until now part of the standard of care option of, along with everything else, we're going to send you to integrative oncology. That's going to be part of the standard care. It's sort of been an afterthought. It's been an additional therapy. In the past, we have called this alternative therapy. You know, we have moved away from that. And that's really what I would like for everyone to take away from this, that this should be an integrated part of the patient care experience, that every patient should be able to participate in, like every patient sees a surgeon, like every patient sees a medical oncologist, every patient should see an integrative oncologist. And so I'm really hoping that this will add to hopefully a smaller but growing body of literature that really says that this should be an integral part of cancer care.
I see. Just improving that access to these integrative services is definitely important. And was there anything else that you wanted to discuss on this topic about integrative oncology in general? or anything else?
I mean, I would just echo what Dr. Hazzikadic said, because it was so well put. Like, the, you know, this used to be called alternative treatments, and it should be, integrative oncology is such an appropriate name because it should be integrated into every patient's care. Like she was just saying, you get your referral to every service. This should be one of those. And I think that there's a lot of rich data here to kind of grow this.
And I will just only add in that we are very, very lucky and fortunate here at the Levine Cancer Institute and Atrium Health that we have a department of supportive oncology and integrative oncology. We work very, very closely together. Both departments are very interested in continuing to conduct research on this and add to the body of literature. And I will say that I know that there are other places in the country that are very interested in growing the same body of literature. And we are very happy to work with anyone and collaborate if anyone is interested in continuing this sort of research, because the more we know, the more we pull our data, the better outcomes we're going to see, so that we can actually get more information out there. So we welcome anybody that's interested.
I see. So thank you both for taking the time to talk to me about your research in your journal. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.